in that name, isn't there? Just feel the power and the strength with him. I love what worship does to prepare us, to get us ready for his great words, to get ready for his great movements, to get ready for whatever he wants us to do in this place. I was sitting there in the middle of that song, just meditating, just praying into my prayer language. And God had showed me this little girl looking out the window of an airplane. And right before it was taking off, everything's going by really fast. Like, just, it's a blur. Everything's going by just extremely fast, just moving in time. How many of you know that's what life sometimes does to us? I believe God's saying, let me control your time. It's not yours to control. And what he was showing is, as when you take off, everything's a blur. Everything's going 90, 100 miles an hour, and we can't really focus. We can't really see what's passing us by. But then we get up and we get lifted up. And then we start beginning to see the view and the vision of what God sees. That everything slows down. We're moving at the same speed, but we're moving at the speed of him and not ourselves. We're getting to see that vision above. And everything below, it just seems like time kind of slows down. And we get to see that view and that vision of what God has for each and every one of our lives. I believe there's people in here that need to give back their time to God, to let him have it. That our lives can get chaotic. We can look at the world. We can look at the things that we live in. And we can look at the stuff that is surrounding us. And it's just running past us. It's a blur. It's a vision. Sometimes we don't even know how to respond or how to react to some of these situations. And God's saying, I've got it. Let me do it in my time. You come along with me. So let's begin to look at God's vision. Let's begin to look at what God sees, how he sees us. Ask God right now, if that's you, if time is running too fast for you, if time is passing you by, if it's a blur, if things in your life are holding you back and you can't get a hold of what God's trying to get a hold of, just ask him, God, take control of my time. Let me see your eyes. Let me see your vision. Let me come from that last song. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's look at an earthly realm and an earthly view down on earth of what God wants us to do. Get rid of our time. Father, just come this morning. Father, we just give you this place, that you just give us this place to steward over, that all is yours, Father God. And we just ask you to come, minister to our hearts, Father God. Get rid of the chafe. Burn up the things that are unnecessary, Father God. And just give us a pure heart, Father, that we may receive and soak in your wisdom and your knowledge, your peace and grace. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Love worship. You want another song, Wags? All right, guys. Thank you for coming here. You guys may have a seat, and I believe we have another comedic 3 minutes with Rhett and some very, very important announcements I'd like to watch. So dry your eyes to the TVs.
Hey, N3C, we have such a cool opportunity coming up for y'all in April for a hangout night. We are doing a Passover Seder. If you don't know what Passover is, this is the perfect opportunity to come and learn about it. Pastors are going to give just a short explanation on it, and we are going to have a Passover Seder complete with food, a great teaching, and great quality time together. Don't forget, this is for a hangout night coming up in April. So get that on the calendar and get that in your heads. We're going to have signups opening very, very soon. Couples, the comedy night is this coming Saturday, March 23rd, and it is coming down to the wire. If you guys haven't gotten your tickets, you need to do that today. It is your last chance to do so, so please go get your tickets so you can find them on Church Center, and you can go and talk to Chance and Gina at the activities desk after church today, and they can give you some more information on the comedy night and everything that is going to be taking place. It is going to be so good. We cannot wait for it. And after the comedy night on Sunday morning, we get the chance to hear from Nick Morrison again. He is giving the Sunday message, and it is going to be so good. We cannot wait for y'all to hear him. If y'all haven't noticed yet, we have the N3C Women's Meeting in April already up on Church Center. If y'all haven't gotten signed up for it, we encourage you to go do that because it is going to be so good. We cannot wait to see what the ladies have planned for you. We already know it's going to be a tea party, but it's going to be such a good time to get together with all your ladies and all your gal pals or whatever the slang term is now. Whoever that is, you guys are going to have such a good time. It's going to be such a great time of fellowship. So be sure to get signed up for that. It is April 20th, and I believe it is at 9 a.m. So get signed up. Resurrection Sunday is just around the corner, and if you have not been to our church during a Res Sunday service, here's what you can expect. We are only having one service this year at 9 a.m., regular service time as always. But this year we are changing things up just a little bit. Instead of a separated service where adults and kids and junior high and high school will be separated, we are instead doing a family Sunday. We are still having a regular family Sunday service on March 24th next weekend, but we are also having a family service on March 31st for Resurrection Sunday. It is going to be so cool. We cannot wait to have all the kids first through fifth grade and junior high and high school all in the auditorium. It is going to be a really cool family dynamic, and pastors have a great message planned for you guys that is family friendly and so exciting. We cannot wait for it. So don't forget, 9 a.m. one service. Get here a little bit early, reserve your seats, get your coffee, socialize, be social butterflies, woohoo! And kids are going to be joining us as well. So there's going to be some extra chairs set up in the auditorium to accommodate for everybody. Get that in your heads, get it on your calendars, and we cannot wait for Res Sunday this year.
All right, y'all get that? Got it on your calendars? There's some exciting things coming up. Y'all don't want to miss out on it. I've got a little bit of the backside of some of that stuff, and it's going to be fun. And I know Nick Morrison. A lot of other guys know Nick Morrison in here. He's funny. He's not lacking in words or comedic atmosphere around the guy. So, yeah, get your tickets. I don't know how many we got left, but get them. 7 left. There they just right there. The ones that are running the whole show told me 7 tickets. So don't get run to the – not after – not right now. After I'm done, whoever's the quickest to the activity desk gets those tickets. Y'all awake? Worship, where are you out? Y'all don't have an excuse like the last week people did. The time didn't change for y'all. All right. Well, if I can get to my notes, I'm going to briefly kind of go over what I spoke about last week just so it will tie into this week. So the overall view, the overall picture of what I talked about last week was pruning. This week, I'm going to talk about the fruit and the vine and the growth that's in that. So in there, just to recap, if you did hear it, if you haven't heard it, I'm not going to go through everything. So if I confuse you in the next 10 minutes, go to N3C and get on Facebook, and then you can go ahead and actually listen to the full message, and then it will make sense to y'all, all right? So I'm not going to cover it all. But right here, just to recap a little bit. So we were talking about pruning. And what that does and what the purpose of that pruning is for us and the procedures of pruning of what that does in our lives and the differences of getting cut compared to pruning. You know, the Bible says both that we cut off the things that are dead, but we prune back the lives. And a big portion of my message was about living in the leaves. And what I mean by that, there's three parts of a vine and a branch that right there at the very tip, at the very end, there's no leaves, it's bare, it just looks like wood, it almost looks like it's even dead hanging out there. Well, most people will cut that off right there thinking that's the only portion that needs pruned back. But we can live in the leaves. It's still alive. It's still growing, but it's not producing any fruit. So God says, let me prune back to the fruit. Let me prune back to where that fruit is going to begin. So we cut off those leaves. And we looked at Adam and Eve right there. See, our lives can look much the same way that Adam and Eve in the garden, after they ate the forbidden fruit, what did they do? They ran and hid. Right? When they heard the voice of God calling out to them, they were so ashamed for what they've done. They were so deceived what the enemy had them to do to eat that forbidden fruit, and they ran and hid amongst the trees. But here's the other thing. They also recognized that they were naked. When it was pure, when they were seeing the visions of what God is, but when the good and evil came in, they started recognize sin. They started recognize what was going on, and they covered themselves for embarrassment. They were hiding, and they covered themselves with leaves. So my whole point last week was this, and I won't get on this. If we get comfortable of living in the leaves, we're still alive. We still are doing those things. It looks good, but are we hiding in the leaves because we're comfortable? Are we hiding these things in our lives that aren't flourishing, but from the outside looking in, it looks great, but we just stay within the leaves to cover ourselves? And I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm talking about myself. See, when we start hiding, when we start covering ourselves with leaves, when we start covering or hiding in the trees and we start going there, we're eating fruit that is deceived. We have deception of what that looks like. See, we think others don't know. I'm hiding. See, we'll hide from guilt, shame, pain, anger, addiction. We'll hide whatever we can hide and think that it's okay. It's really easy to be loved and be a Christian in here, but how are we responding out there? Amen. How are we acting out there? When somebody cuts you off coming through Windsor early in the morning and you're listening to worship music, going to church, how do you respond? I responded all right. I didn't get plumb cut off. But I just sat there and just continued to worship. I didn't need that distraction. I didn't need that deception. I didn't need to have any of that settling or sitting upon me before I come into here. That was a way to get it. I could have just blown up and gotten mad, but I didn't. Once, finally, I'm finally figuring that out. He can't hear me anyway. Why am I yelling? No gestures with hand, nothing. I just kept on driving. But see, we can hide these things. We can look at these things. And for a long, long time of my life, I was doing this. But God says, I want to prune you back. And when I went to Bethel a couple of weeks ago to a prophetic conference, this is almost what God was, He was pruning me back constantly. And He was helping me recognize what I needed to be pruned back, that it was time to get unhidden, quit being satisfied living in the leaves. Because I want to bear fruit for you. I want to give you fruit. I want you to bear fruit of my vine, not the fruit of the deception. I want to carry that. And He kept pruning me back. He kept pruning me back. And how many of you know that hurts?
Yeah.
It's sometimes violent. You're cutting something off. What God's doing right there is He's pruning back. He's cutting back the leaves that you're comfortable living in order to bear fruit. But you're wanting to hang on and hide in those leaves because that's a comfortable place to be. It doesn't feel good sometimes. God, you're going to take this away from me? God, you're gonna pull that away from me, man. I'm used to that. I'm comfortable with that. I know what's good for me within that. God says, no, we're gonna get rid of it in order for you to bear my fruit that I'm gonna give you. Amen. It's not hidden to anyone else or God. It's just hidden, or you're thinking you're hiding in the leaves when you're truly not. God has a plan. I'm almost done with my review. We're gonna move forward here. God prunes us for a plan. And what God was showing me, and I haven't received that whole plan yet, but I've been praying and meditating on this when I was there at this conference. Guys, it hit me to another point and another level of really trying to listen to God. And if you aren't taking that time out, if you're not meditating in that word whenever you can, then that voice is not going to see. He already says he's going to speak in a small, still voice. So if you're running ragged, if you're looking out of that airplane at 90 miles an hour instead of a bird's eye view, you're going to miss what he's trying to tell you. And for so long, I was living a life that way. I believed, I trusted, I knew what was in this book. I knew what it said about me, but I could not swallow it. I could not grasp it. And I kept asking God, prune back. I just completely took a new level of surrender with him. Cut me up, prune me back, take away the things that I think that I need or have that you don't want me to have. And God just began to, he started showing me things. As he started to prune me from the things that I was hanging on to so long, he started to cut back the leaves in my life so he can bear good fruit and I can be a witness to him that I can go out and show instead of in hiding. Now I can go expose the fruit that God's given me. And as he was speaking to me, he just kept saying, I'm going to cut this off. I'm going to prune this back. I'm going to prune this back. I'm going to prune this back. And sometimes it's painful, but it's necessary. God has a purpose and a plan to prune in your life if you'll just allow him. God asked me three things. This is another one, but there's three steps or purposes of this pruning process. And this is both literal on a vine. And how many of you know we are the vine?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. There's three processes right here. To remove, for health and appearance. He prunes us back for our health. We may not feel healthy at the time. We may not want to give it up at the time, but it's for our overall health and appearance. How many of you know, like people have said, and not necessarily to me, but people have said there's something, when my wife walks in a room, Miss Lynette, Pastor Lynette has the same thing. Like, there's just something on you. Like, there's just a present. There's something on you. And it's God. It's the presence that the appearance is there. You see it. People don't really know what it is if you don't know where they're at. But they have something, and they want it, but they can't get a hold of it. It's the appearance. And it's the health of that person that God's revealing himself through. To increase the size of the blossom, or in other words, the fruit. He wants to increase us. He wants to continue to grow us. So if you just prune back halfway through the branch, it might bear some fruit. But if you're pruned back to completeness, fruit will develop into more fruit. Are you there?
Yes.
The fruit will grow. It will increase in your life. And most important, what revealed to me was, to remove parts for a purpose. God doesn't randomly just prune us back and say, well, that looks pretty good. That might help. This might do this. Every time we get pruned back, if we'll allow him to let him prune back our lives, let him prune back our addiction, let him prune back our thoughts, let him prune back our anger. Just surrender yourself completely to him every time. He's got a specific purpose in mind and a plan for you to do that. To start bearing good fruit. I'm going to read a scripture that I read last week, but it's tying me into this next message that I'm about to talk to you about the vine. So if you got your Bibles, go to John chapter 15, verse 1. Y'all good? So it says here in verse 1, this is Jesus talking. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Did you get that? He cuts off. He just chops off the dead. He cuts off. That's a two different process step. You just, cutting off is getting rid of dead. Pruning back is keeping the alive, but you can bear more. And he's saying this right here. He cuts off the dead branch, but he prunes back the branches that bear fruit in order to bear more fruit. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Did you get that last part? We can't, if we are severed from the vine, if we are cut off from Christ, if we separate our relationship with Him, we are no longer a part of that vine. It's impossible for us to bear fruit when we are not attached to the vine of Christ. He is in us and we are with Him. I remember the back when, like, Pastor Darren, if most of you don't know, did go to college for, what's it called again? For trees. For forestry and stuff. So he knows some of, he literally knows some of the physical effects of some of this stuff. But I remember him doing a message a long time ago about being engrafted. Like, you can cut off, fix me if I'm wrong, if I'm trying to go over memory and I don't remember what I drank this morning for breakfast. So you can cut off a branch that may look dead, but it's still alive, and you can cut it and engraft it into another branch and it will attach to itself and continue to grow. Is that the process?
That is
the
process.
Okay, there we go. I'm not lying to y'all. If we are pruned back, that does not mean we're cut off from the vine. He's engrafting us back in order for growth to take place. See, here's how I spoke about this last week, but it was, God had just kind of revealed to me, and I'm still pretty excited about it, so I'm going to share with you. So through all that process, through all that pruning back to get ready to prepare for the fruit that is going to be established down the road, when we start getting ourselves pruned back, when we have to go through some things, when stuff that we may not want to go through, that's part of the process. But here's what the deal is. So when you prune back, there's a raw end of that branch, right? That's white, it's soft, it's vulnerable in there. But what does it begin to do? It starts to heal over. It starts to begin to repair itself. See, it's not the process of the pruning back that restores fruit in our lives. It's the rest that restores our growth. Did you get that? It's not the process of the pruning. It's the rest that the branch recovers from in order for growth to take place. Are you with me? It's the resting in Him. This is all important. This is our life's blood right here. But if we don't rest and let this absorb, if we don't meditate on that, the Bible doesn't say, hey, read your Bible whenever you have time. He says, meditate on me. Meditate in my word. That means to let it soak in, to listen to God, to start moving forward in Him. It's the resting points. It's the quiet times in our lives where God will speak to us most, and that's where growth takes place. That's why He prunes us back, so it will heal and become more fruit. All right. Y'all with me? I'm going to have to go get the kids out of kids' church so I can get a hallelujah or an amen or something. Because I know they're probably being pretty loud. So all this through this, there's ins and outs of when God was revealing a lot of this to me. This was all coming back through a process of what God was revealing Himself to me through this prophetic conference. Some of which I don't know that I'm going to share personally and some other things, but God is so good to reveal His fruit to you when it's ready. A branch cannot produce fruit if it is cut off from the vine. We've got to be back and engrafted. And if we're in that place, if we're sitting in that place, if we're just going, man, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. See, I was frustrated when I went to Bethel for myself. and I was carrying a weight around that I couldn't pinpoint it, but I wasn't feeling right inside. And I believe that was one of the whole reasons that my wife and I, we'd prayed about it and talked about it and just started learning more about it. And we went out there, and I didn't know what to expect. Because until, I don't do this with God, but I do it with others, until I know you, until I start beginning to trust you, until I know your character, where you come from, and start developing some type of relationship, my guard and my hedges are pretty high. And I believe I came there, I went there with that same character and that same attitude, and now it's pruned, believe me, it's pruned. I got to witness miracles, works, and wonders right before my eyes, how quick and how much God wants to do in our lives. I watched it. You can't tell me anything different. Amen. It wasn't fake. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't people running around screaming. God's presence was in there. You could feel it. Amen. God's presence is in here. Can we feel it?
Yes.
We can take it wherever we go. We just choose not to. We ask God to follow us instead of us following God. And when I walked in there, when I got in there, man, the worship was awesome. Like I walked in with the place. I knew that I was going to get something out of it. But I didn't know what to expect. And I was carrying this weight around. See, in the Bible, it says for where we're at, that I'm going to be held to a higher standard. And there for a while through my, see, I know me. I knew what I was going through. I knew some of the fruit that I was bearing. I knew some of the fruit that I was producing. And I wasn't happy with myself because I was starting to wonder how God was going to judge me and what the judgment's going to come back on me. And I just needed to surrender. That's all he told me. He said, surrender yourself to me and I'll reveal to you who I see in you. And through this process of 2 days, people after people were, I mean, there was prophecy going on. The people were speaking it. There was things surrounding me that you could not hide and deny. If anyone in here does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go there and you will. Come here and you will. If you're questioning yourself, are you in that relationship? You had no choice but to witness the miracles, works, and wonders of what God did in that place. Now, does he do them just at Bethel?
Nope.
Why can we not witness and experience him here? We can see it. We can allow him to do it. We've got to lay everything down. The fruit that we are bearing right now, that every one of you know the type of fruit that you're bearing right now. And if it's not flourishing, if it's not abundant, if it's not good, if it's not fruit of the Spirit, or if it could be fruit of deception, then lay it down right now. Tell God right now in your own heart, take it from me, prune me back so I can bear better fruit.
Yes, yes.
That's all I was starting to do. And God started revealing to me. There was 4 or 5 different young ladies, and I don't know why this was, but 4 or 5, was there 4 or 5 different ones? Somewhere in there. 4 or 5 young ladies in their early 30s, somewhere in that area, at different times throughout this conference would come up and would give me a word. Now, how many of you know there's false prophets? So I was still carrying this weight of confusion and all this stuff upon me, but I was also leery of what's coming into me. Our pastors have always said, if someone speaks a word over you, make sure that it reflects heaven and not this way on earth. Make sure that it's heavenly and not out this way. Discern it. So I had a huge discernment up, like my guard and my hedges up. I was listening, and these girls, I could not figure it out, but they kept coming up, giving me different words of prophecy. And what God had revealed to me, every time that I would pray beforehand, I would ask him, God, who do you see me? What am I doing? How do I take this burden off my back? And all 4 girls, after my prayers throughout that day or out those 2 days, all had a word for me telling me the exact same thing and reflecting who he was in my life. Every one of those young ladies had a prophecy spoke into me that I had already prayed about beforehand.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
That's God revealing himself. God's revealing himself to us. And it's still coming into fruition. I don't even have it all gathered up yet. But how many of you know when you get that on there, when you get pruned back and you start seeing the fruit, don't you want more? That's where I'm at anymore. That's where I'm at right now. I'm like, my guard is all the way down. God, if you want to come in this place in the presence and heal a person right now, in the name of Jesus, do it. That's how we got to have an attitude of. That's how we've got to carry those things. That's the expectation that he expects us to have. Yes. I'm reading a book on Smith Wigglesworth, and I'm so far off my notes, I don't even know what page I'm on. But I was reading a book of Smith Wigglesworth in there. And this man was a healing, like this guy didn't mess around. He had a gift of the Spirit to heal people. He was called to do that. But here's the thing. He said, it's not a big drawn out, long out, big old prayer that you do. He said, all you have to do is claim whatever's in that person to leave, because it has to leave, because at some level or another, evil's carrying something on it or upon it in there. And he rebukes the devourer, says, out of this person right now, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Whew, that was hard. But that's the most powerful prayer we can ever have. He also said, most people, when we're praying for healing, we are looking at the person that's carrying the affliction, or looking at their circumstances, and start praying over a person, oh, this, take this and do all that. He said, no, we need to rebuke whatever they're carrying inside of them. Make it flee. Make it leave. It has to when you say the name of Jesus. Quit praying prayers over people in a reflection of what their affliction or pain or suffering is going through. Because the back mind of it is the evilness that is carrying it. That's the pain. That's the suffering. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why don't we just say, in the name of Jesus, get out of this person. Get out of this man. Get out of this young lady. Take a hold of what you're doing. God's given us that ability, that authority. Kick it out so it can bear the fruit. Kick it out so it can bear the fruit. All right, let me get me back in my notes here. Man. I don't know why I needed to say all that, but that was not in my notes. All right, let's get back on track. So here's the, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm shaking up here. Whew. Come on now. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to start reading in verse 7. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, now catch all this tight, and you can go back and study. There's so much in this little verse that I can't cover all of it at once, but listen to this now. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. I'm sweating in my eyes, so I'm reading like a 2-year-old, but I can't see very good here. All right. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. Thank you, sir. While others are given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have. Amen, right? All right. Jeez, I'm gonna mess up here. See, it doesn't say that we all get all of these gifts. Does it?
No.
One person gets this. One person gets that. One person gets this. One has this. But it all comes together in order to help one another through life, through decisions that we need to go through. That's where we come together, because we all carry the gifts. We all have a gift of the Spirit. But how many of you know, don't raise your hands, but you can just think on the inside of you, have you asked God lately what your gifts of the Spirit are? There could be people in here that are great healers. Have you asked God? There's people in here that I know already can prophesy, but have you asked yourself, God, is one of my gifts in order to prophesy? Am I going to be one of those ones that discern your word? See, the Holy Spirit's handing them out. But it's up to you to activate it. It's up to you to ask for it. He's got the gifts. It's like getting a gift for your birthday and then throwing it on the counter and never opening it. Have you asked what your gifts are? There's people in here that I know have a gift of healing. Amen. I just don't know if they know. Amen? Amen? There's people in here that can prophesy. But have you tried to activate it? Have you looked at it? Every now and then, very, very seldom, I get visions in my head. Most of the time when I do, like when I'm at home, I sit there after I'm done reading and meditating. I've asked God, God, let me have a vision. Let me see those things. Let me dream dreams. Yes, I'm still young enough to dream dreams. I'm not seeing vision. Those are for old men. I'm still dreaming. But every now and then, I want it so bad, and God, give me something from the throne room of heaven. Let me dream dreams. Let me see visions. And I very rarely get them. But He speaks to my heart louder than He ever has before. Amen. That's my gift. My wife has visions. Pastor Lynette has visions. I know there's other young ladies in here that have visions and direction. That's a gift been given by the Spirit to prophesy. I don't need to have those visions in order to listen to Him. That's her gift. That's Pastor Lynette's gift. That's other gifts. I don't need to have those visions in order for God to speak to me. When I do get them, it's usually in a place of meditation or worship, just like this morning. Like, I don't get those all the time. I don't see all those things. But God will drop something in my heart in order to do something that He has given those gifts of the Spirit in us in order for us to cultivate the fruit in our lives. Let me get back on my notes again. I went off track. So I'm going to try to explain a little bit of the difference. See, there's difference from the fruit of the Spirit, right? There's fruit of the Spirit, and then there's gifts of the Spirit, okay? God was revealing this to me. I was trying to gather it all up and to see how to explain it. So let me start. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, real quick. Let me find it here. It says right here, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoked or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. See, the fruit, I'll read it here. The fruit of the Spirit are things. Should we just go there? Do I have it wrote down? Hold on. Yes. It's right up here. Go to 22 in Galatians. I'm getting off my notes here. Yeah, 22. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Did you hear all that? How many of you are working on some of those little items there? Right? We're all working on some of the fruits of the Spirit. These are fruits that are given to us that we needed to develop, that we need to grow, that we need to receive by pruning back in order for those to grow. See, these fruits of the Spirit are all developed, but we cannot develop them unless we have the Holy Spirit in us doing it. Now, there are people in here, we all carry different characteristics of one another. Some are very, very slow to anger. Some are not slow to anger. I'm not pointing to myself. Some can naturally walk around carrying peace. Some can walk around carrying the joy. Some people come around and take on other people's burdens of the long suffering for things. We've got those. We've got the fruit of the Spirit. It's just how are we developing? Those are all characteristics that need to be developed. They're given to us by God, but we need to reflect that through the Holy Spirit teaching us how. Say, Holy Spirit, take my anger away. Holy Spirit, fill me full of joy. What do I need to do for others today, Father God? How do I see those people today, Lord? He'll develop all of those fruits of the Spirit on the inside of you in order for you to grow and to produce even bigger and larger and more fruit in your lives and others. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are given to each of us based on God's choices. Some can prophesy. Someone gets this gift. Those are all based off of what God chooses to do. We just need to ask Him, which one do we have? Do you see that? Do you see the difference right here? The fruit of the Spirit are developed through the Holy Spirit. But it's God's decision of what gifts He wants to hand out in our life. But it all comes to gather up in the kingdom of God so we can all bear fruit together. It all comes off of the vine. It all comes off of the vine. When I was sitting here, well, I'm not here, but I was just kind of meditating and praying a couple days ago. And this, I haven't got the whole grasp of all this yet because, like I said, God is opening my eyes and touching my heart in a way that I really haven't felt before. But this dropped in my heart when I was meditating the other day, and I'm going to share it with you. I'm just going to read it because I don't want to mess it up. I wrote it down immediately after God had spoke to my heart. It says, if we develop our fruit of the Spirit, then the gifts of the Spirit will create revival. And I said, wait, now I had to back up a minute. God, what are you talking about here? What are you saying here? If we develop the fruit of the Spirit, if we look in the Holy Spirit and let Him to develop those characteristics that are in us, if we start carrying long-suffering, if we start carrying joy, if we start carrying patience, if we start carrying kindness, if we start carrying gentleness, if we cultivate those and develop in those fruits that are going in there, then the gifts of the Spirit of prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit of knowing, the gifts of the Spirit that are freely handed out for each and every one of us if we know what it is, that's when revival is going to take place. We get taught in here. We get trained in here. We come in here. Revival's going to happen out there. And God was showing me this after I'd gotten back home from Bethel. And I've never really dug in. I've heard people talking about that word revival and what it is, but I didn't really know or fully understand what this was, and He just kept showing me over and over and over again. See, we think right now, what I believe right now is we're in a transition period right now. We're learning to do this. We're trying to develop these. I mean, some of us in here haven't even asked what our gifts are right here. And see, this most, everything in this world right now is what's happening. We're focused on what's going on. Man, there's people out there screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs. But I'm not hearing any revival in the church yet. And it seems like the whole world's taking control. The whole world's taken over. The evil spirit, the evilness that's lurking in our midst, that's running around. Man, it looks like He is just kicking our tail, but He's not. We're in a transition period. And He said, wait, just watch what's going to happen. Isn't it possible in this transition period, we're not quite yet prepared? with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He's setting us up to carry these qualities, to begin to grow this fruit, to begin to let that vine grow in our lives. He's preparing something. Revival's coming. Amen. It's just up to all of us if we want to be a part of it. Do we want to look from a sideline? We've got a role to do it. He's given us gifts to do it. He's given us the equipment, the tools that we need to go out to create revival. See, there's going to become a time when revival begins to happen, and there's no denying that the voice of God is going to speak louder to anything that's on this earth. They are going to flee and scatter and run. What did God do every time that he sent Moses or Aaron or someone to go fight a battle for him? What did they say? God confused the enemy. God made them scatter and come amongst themselves. That's what's going to happen in our revival, because it's going to be undeniable. The voice of Jesus Christ and the voice of our God is going to be so loud that there, even if they don't believe in God, every knee shall bow to his name. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. God was showing me that in the revival. Now here's, I want to pull up this slide. I'm going to transition over just a little bit. Maybe I just need to keep rolling with the revival. I'm kind of liking that. I love when God now, like, it's such a revelation to know and to stand in his presence in confidence, knowing that I'm not questioning myself if he's telling me the truth. And I've done that for a lot of years, and a lot of times I couldn't get over myself. I had extreme faith in God, but I didn't have extreme faith in me. But God did. God does. He's got more faith in all of you than you have in yourselves, I promise you. We've just got to learn to exercise it. We've got to learn how to prune back correctly in our lives so we can grow great fruit. Amen? All right. I don't even know if... You can throw one of the slides up. I don't even know which one it is yet. I'm all backwards anyway, so it's not, I'll flow with it. All right. No, that's the wrong one. No, I'm teasing. So when we were at Bethel, my tour guide took me the long way around to get to Reading, because we wanted to go see the vineyards and the vines and look at the wineries and see how they operate and see how they're designed and see how old they are and the history. And I love seeing the history of old things and looking back and doing some of those things. So my tour guide did all right. She took these pictures and I did a little research on some of this. So just at a certain point of the year, they take herds of sheep and they stick them in the vine, in the vineyard, to eat some of that mustard seed, to eat some of that mustard weed. But what we found out is the sheep will only eat a certain portion of that plant. It won't eat the blossom. It won't eat the flower part. It eats a part. I don't remember what it was, but there's a portion within the weed, within the stem, that the sheep will eat. Through that, it starts generating growth. It starts bringing back nutrition into the soil, right? Now, all of us know, like, that's no brainer, right? Like, we have cattle, we have animals, we have manure. I mean, here in another month, we're going to be smelling it everywhere that's in these cornfields. So that's not a huge revelation of some of the processes to do some of that stuff. But it's the specific part that they are eating that will help in the cultivation of the fruit down the road. Are we not sheep? Are we not eating? What are we eating? Are we eating fruit of deception, or are we eating fruit of the Spirit? If we eat fruit of deception, things will not grow. So those sheep have a specific purpose to be in there. The next, you can leave that one up. I can still, you don't have to worry about it, Lindsay. So the next thing that we saw was not every field had it, but the majority of all the vineyards had this mustard grass growing right through the middle of the rows. And I knew, like, it wasn't a mistake, and I couldn't figure out. So Tracy and I, just the way my mind works, I had to find out what the mustard weed was doing in these. Like, there had to be a purpose, right? So come to find out, the mustard weed will overtake any other weeds that are growing in there. It will start overcoming anything in there. Now, how many of you know most plants, most trees, most crops pull away nutrients from the soil? They take away from it. They need something. They need to pull. See, even a dead branch will consume the moisture, the soil content, everything for that vine to grow. Even the portion that's starting to die will draw off nutrients to that. And if you don't prune or cut back or trim back the dead, that whole tree will eventually die because it is stealing moisture. It is stealing nutrients from the entire vine. The dead portion that's dying will steal just as much nutrients out of it as the living fruit will if we allow it. It'll start drawing us in. Are you getting me? But here's the deal of the mustard weed. The mustard weed has something within it. The faith that is within the mustard seed that will begin to grow. The mustard weed, when it gets tilled under, when it begins to start producing vines, the mustard seed never pulls back any nutrients that is in the ground. The mustard seed puts back into the ground the nutrients it needs to take to grow grapevines. The mustard seed is putting back into the ground. We're putting back into other people. We're putting back the nutrients into all of us. We're not stealing or taking away from it any longer because we're getting pruned back. We're beginning to heal. We are beginning to come through that. We are producing vines that are going to bear more and more fruit in every season, every year. And it just repeats a cycle if we will allow it to just continue to happen. It puts back the nutrients into the soil so the grapevine will grow and bear more fruit. Wow. That was awesome. That was a little history lesson. We have revival coming. Amen. This is a process of how that begins. Our voices are going to be heard. The way they do it, right? The way evil things are operating, the principalities that are running around, they know they're defeated, so they're going to try to defeat us as quick as they possibly can. They're trying to steal, kill, and destroy all of our lives, everything that we've got in it. And there is a spiritual war out there, right? The Bible says that it's not a war of flesh and blood, but it's a battle against evil. There are angels, there are devils that are in our atmosphere that are floating around. And if we just allow them to consume and just come into our place, it'll be so easy to sit there and just keep taking it and taking it and taking it. And we're not producing anything else out. We can't allow that to happen. Our voices are going to get heard. Revival will not happen if the gifts of the Spirit are not cultivated. We need to begin to stir those gifts. We need to ask God. The revival is marked by a recovery of the Word of God, a new sense of fear of God, a renewed commitment to God, to God's people, a new devotion to God. Revival does not happen unless we are bearing good fruit and using the gifts of the Spirit He has given us. See, so many of us can live in a section, including myself, in a portion of my life when I was carrying that weight. And I just kept asking God when I was at the prophetic conference. I don't know what it is, God. I'm not feeling worthy. I'm not feeling good enough. I'm not feeling at a place of really hearing you. I'm confused. I'm just like the enemy bombarding me with all this. And I knew it, but I couldn't get rid of it. And I just kept praying and begging and asking God, take away from me. And I had heard this at the conference too, but it resonated with my heart so much. See, routine in life without a relationship with God is just religion. And we've heard that before, I've heard that saying, but it meant something differently when God spoke that to me there. I was doing the things that looked right. I was doing the things in operation. I was doing those things that were actually working, thinking I was expanding the kingdom of God. I was just doing the day in, day out repetitive work over and over and over again instead of focusing on the fruit of the relationship of Jesus Christ. And all I was doing was standing in religion. I was carrying religion on my shoulders. And I'm a pastor. I should not have that. I pride myself and I pride that he has those things, and this church is founded on the true living word of Jesus Christ and nothing else. We give stories and we talk about of our opinions sometimes to reflect the message of what it is. But in the root of it, it's God. It's Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. That's the reflection that we need to have. And I started feeling that religious spirit after God told me that. I just completely repented. I said, God, I'm standing in a place of religion and not relationship with you. I want a refreshing. And God just started dumping into me. I'm going to read this right here. And then ready, if you want to come up now, I guess that'll be all right. I've only got a few more minutes. So when I was sitting there praising and worship, another man came up behind me, gave me a couple words, and he wrote this letter and handed it to me. And it's a word of prophecy. In fact, I didn't know it at the time. I'd seen the guy walk past me. I was sitting on an end chair, much like I do here. I get too elbowy when I'm in the middle of seats. I got to sit on the end. So I'm sitting at the end of a row, and he starts walking down the row. And he stopped in the row, and he just kind of did one of these numbers and turned around like that. He said, God's got a word for you. He said, God's got something for you. And he handed me this note and walked off. Come to find out, the man actually is an employee. He's actually doing something with the men's conference at Bethel. Like, he's a legit prophet. I did not know it at this time. So here again, this dude hands me a letter, and I'm thinking, okay, God's got something for me. But I'm already realizing what God is doing in my life. I'm letting those guards down. I'm letting those things of this world kind of down. I'm starting to get revealed to me through God's eyes of who he truly sees us as sons and daughters, and not an enemy or a fighter of the things of this world. And he started revealing to me, and this guy hands this letter. His handwriting is atrocious. It's worse than mine. So if it takes me a minute to try to get through this, I've read it several times and let it soak in. But this was a word of prophecy, but I feel like it is for everybody that's got something coming. Revival's coming. Are you expecting it? Are you going to be ready for it? Are you ready for the calling that's placed upon your life? Are you willing to take risks? Are you ready for a faith that will reshape your life? Are you ready to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? This is the time to do it right now. If you have not done that, this is the time to do it. God is revealing himself in a way that I've never experienced before, and it's just going to get more great and more great. Here comes more fruit. Here comes more fruit. And one day, revival, when it breaks out, we're going to get to witness and see one of the greatest revivals that this country's ever seen. I believe it's going to go around the world. And it's coming. And I would not, a month ago, would not even have taken that step to say that, because I was unsure of myself to say something like that a month ago. And I know in my heart of heart right now that the Lord is speaking, that is going to take place. When and where, I don't know. But if we're on his time, we just need to be ready for it, and not our own time. Let's be on his time. So this guy writes this. He said, God said, you've come here expecting the wrong things. The word is already inside of you. God, I need grace. I can't do this thing that is being asked. And then this is bold letters, and I'm still working on this to kind of really get more definition. But it says, Son, I have put some of my best stuff inside of you. Now it's time for you. Now it's time for it to come out. Look at the last year and a half. And that number hit, like, I know this is from God. It says, look at the last year and a half. Look at what we've washed and walked through here. It is the coming out. You came for a prophet. Now here is his reward, and the supernatural will flow in you like never before. That's not just for me. I needed it at the time, and God spoke heavily on my heart, but that word's for you. I'm not the only one receiving new gifts and revelation in here. We've just got to ask one another. We've got to ask God to do that. Are you prepared and ready? Are you willing to take risks? Are you willing to take chances? Are you stepping into some of these things? If we do not do that, we will not be able to cultivate the fruit that God's given us right now. If we do not go through the processes of pruning, if we don't go through the processes of fertilizing, if we don't go through the processes of practicing the gifts or the fruit of the Spirit in order to carry the gifts of the Spirit to go out for revival, we're going to sit here and it's going to pass you by. You're still going to look outside the airplane instead of a heavenly view of what's taking place. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. Let me pray. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, just come. Father, rest on their hearts. Rest on their shoulders, Father, that it's a beautiful weight to carry. Father, as they sit there, Lord, I just pray that anything in their lives, prune back their lives, Father God, that to cut the dead branches off, that it will fall to the ground. Your word says that you forgive us of our sins, that you cast them as far as the east is to the west and remember them no more. Father, reveal to them what you revealed to me. Let them see visions. Let them have dreams, Father. Let them feel you in their hearts of who they really are in your eyes. Your love is overwhelming, Father. It's incomprehensible for us. Let us feel that. Let us feel your love, Father. Show each and every one of them. Father, I pray as they sit in these chairs that they're getting right with you. Father God, I pray if there was anyone in here that did not know who you are, whether they're rededicating you or not completely understanding who you are in their lives, Father God, begin to just let them pray boldly, come to the throne room of God boldly and ask them to receive who you truly are and that you may speak to their heart with great authority and great direction and great guidance. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Holy Spirit, just come. Touch their hearts, Father. It's not my words, but it's your words that affect the lives of others. Praise you, Jesus. He's trying to call one of you. I don't know who he is. You better answer it and ask for the gifts of the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal the gifts that you've given us. Let us unwrap those things, Father God, in order to glorify you and your kingdom. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you. We look forward to the miracles, works, and wonders that are going to take place in here, take place in the lives of others, and take place outside of these walls and begin to prepare us for a revival that we can't even comprehend. Prepare us, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.